Today's daf is Bava Basra, daf Kuf Samach Beis. And we are four lines from the bottom of daf Kuf Samach Aleph Amid Beis, Omar Rav Yitzchok Bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan. Today's daf is being learned as a schos for Achenu B'nei Yisrael, Hanasuna Matzara Vashivya. Today's daf is being learned as a schos refuah shalema for Rivka Bas Rachel. And today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Moshe Abba Ben Melech, who was our good friend and fellow Chabura member, Moshe Underweiser. So today is Reb Moshe's first yahrzeit, and I just wanted to say that we all remember Moshe. He was a very important part of what we do. And the first time I got to meet him was after he had already been diagnosed with a difficult machla, and he had a very challenging prognosis. And I remember calling him. It was an awkward phone call, and the purpose was to try to say something kind and try to be mechazik him a little bit. We ended up speaking for about 10 minutes, and I hung up the phone so mechuzik. I'd never spoken to somebody that was such a beacon of emuna and such a beacon of betachin. The one thing that he kept on telling me was that, you know, a person goes through life and he doesn't always know what Hashem wants from him. He says now he knows exactly what Hashem wants from him. He said there's not that much he can do other than be mekabel his matziv bahava and to accept it and to understand that if this is the Ratzon Hashem, that this is the best thing for him. And he said he wakes up every morning, he feels like a free man. He feels liberated. He knows exactly what his purpose in life is, and this is what he has to do. And I used to tell him, Moshe, you're incredible. And his line was, I'm just a Pashita guy. I'm a Pashita guy. Moshe was not Pashit. Learning Perek Get Pashit, which is also not Pashit. But I want to tell you, Reb Moshe wasn't a Pashit person. He was an incredible, incredible person. If you knew, you knew. And his neshama should have an aliyah. He should be a Melitz Yosher for his family. He should be a Melitz Yosher for the entire Chabura. And we should always share in Psuras Tovis together. So we're in the beginning of Perek Get Pashit, which begins discussing, ironically, not the Get Pashut, but rather the Get Mekushut. That was the topic of the last two dafim. B'derech Agav, in the Gemara's discussion of the Get Mekushut, the Gemara mentioned a few halachos related to Hilchis Safrus as it relates to writing a shtar. So usually when you think of Safrus, you think of the laws of Stam, how you write a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzahs, but these are laws that are related to scribes. So if you're a Sefer and you're going to write a Shtar Choyv, a Shtar Matona, a Shtar Mecher, so there's a whole Shulchan Aruch that you have to follow. Some of the halachis related to that Shulchan Aruch came up B'derech Agav in the previous daf, and today's daf is going to pick up and discuss again, this time in greater detail, some of those halachas. Omer Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omer Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef said in the name of the great Rav Yochanan, Kol ha-mechakin kulon, tzorech she-yichtoiv v'dein ki-yumehoin. So if a sofer is writing a shtar, and then he feels that he has to erase something, or he has to insert something, so the halacha is, he can sometimes do that. However, he has to make sure that at the end of the document, when he's going to write Shara V'Kayam, when he's going to write that everything written in this shtar is legit, he would have to chazer over all those things that were inserted or all those things that were erased. Let's just clarify this halacha. In yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought a memory for Rabbi Yochanan. The Rabbi Yochanan said, Tluya mikuyem es kshera, Machak pasul va'afal pisha mekoyim. So if a sefer wants to add a word into a document that he wrote, that's okay. However, he just has to be mekayim. At the end of the shtar, he has to include language and verbiage that says that, you know, I added a word, it looks a little bit funny on the document, it looks a little suspicious. No, there's nothing fishy going on over here. This is 100% legit. And I chap last minute that I had omitted a word, as long as you account for it in the substance of the shtar, that in of itself is going to be okay. But Rabbi Yochanan said, machak pasul v'afal pishem mekoyim. In the event that a sofer has to erase a word and write over it, or even not write over it, then already it's going to be pasul. And even if the sofer goes and he chazes over in the kiyum, in the end of the shtar, and he addresses what it is he erased, it's still going to be a problem. So that was Rabbi Yochanan's memra yesterday's daf. Rabbi Yochanan starts today's daf by saying, "Kol ha-mechakin kulon, tzarech she-yichtoiv, v'den ki-yumen." What does it sound like? It sounds like that if a sofer is going to erase something in a document, that's okay, as long as he writes v'den ki-yumen, which Rashbam says, as long as at the end of the document, he addresses it. At first glance, it seems like a steer in Rabbi Yochanan. Yesterday's daf Rabbi Yochanan said, machak pasol va'afal pisha mekuyen. And then in today's daf Rabbi Yochanan says, kol ha-mechakin kulon, tzorech she-yichtoi v'den ki-yumen. So the Rashbam says that the teretz is the next line of Gemara in yesterday's daf. After Rabbi Yochanan said machak pasul va'af al pi shemekuyim, he added v'loy amru machak pasul ela b'makim shar v'kayim u'kashir shar v'kayim. The only time machak is going to be pasul is if the mechika is in a place where the word shar v'kayim could have been written, so that we're concerned that maybe what was erased were the word shar v'kayim. Additionally, you need that the mechika should be large enough that it could be the words that he was meichik was shar v'kayim. Meaning, only when there's a concern that maybe what he was meichik were the words shar v'kayim, which would require it to check off two boxes. Number one, it's b'makim shar v'kayim, and number two, it's kishir shar v'kayim. Then we say machak pasol va'af al pi shemekuyim. If, however, there's no concern that what he was meichik was shar v'kayim, then machak is going to be kosher. Just like tluya is going to be kosher, so too machak is going to be kosher. So Rabbi Yochanan is adding to that, and he's saying that even though when I said I only meant in certain instances, which means that there are other instances when machak is going to be kosher, but at the same time, just like tluya is only mikuyemes ksheira, it's only going to be kosher if you're mekayem it, so too as relates to the machak, the only time it's going to be kosher is if you're going to be mekayem it. In other words, it's true, Rabbi Yochanan yesterday staff said machak pasal v'afal pisha mekuyim, and Rabbi Yochanan in today's staff is saying kol ha-mechakin kulon, which sounds like as long as you mekayim the mechika, it's going to be kosher. Is it a stira? The answer is no, because mechakin sometimes are kosher and sometimes are pasul. What does it depend on? Is it b'makam shar v'kayim and kashir shar v'kayim? Then it would be pasul v'afal pisha mekuyim. Otherwise, it would be kosher, albeit as long as you write v'dein kiyumein. Rabbi Yochanan continued, and he said another halacha, and it's the second halacha that's going to be the topic of today's daf, and into tomorrow's daf. He said, v'tzorach sheyachzer mein yonei shel shtar, b'shita achrein. A sofer has to make sure that when it comes to the last line in the shtar, he chazes over the substance of the shtar. So the last line of a shtar has to be a chazara of the main points of the shtar. My time, but what's the reason for that? Rav Amram explained, l'fisha ein l'meidin m'shita achrein. Because you can't learn anything new from the shita achrein. And being that you can't learn anything new from the shita achrein, if the shita achrein of the shtar is going to have new information that's pertinent to this transaction, well, you're not going to be able to learn from it. So you're going to end up with a problem. So it's for that reason, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Sarach sheyachzer me'inyonei shel shtar b'shita achrein." It's not so much that you need that the last line in the shtar should be a chazara of inyonei shel shtar. It's more that we don't want it to contain any new information. And it's for that reason, Rabbi Yochanan said, that the sofer should just have this rule. Like this, you're not going to have any new information which will maybe cause any wrinkles in this transaction. Says the Gemara, Rav Amram, minolacha. How do you know this? Meaning, Rav Amram explained Rabbi Yochanan, Tzorach sheyachzer me'inyonei shel shtar b'shita achrayna. You know why? That's a big chiddush. That's like a big zog. You learn from a shtar. The whole purpose of a shtar is to teach you and to transcribe the transaction and chronicle whatever it is happened. But the last line, that you can't learn from. And Rav Nachman, who's the guru when it comes to all things shtaris, achish mishpat, and nezikin, above a kam, above a mitzi, above a bas, he turns to Rav Amram and he says, come again? I've never heard that chiddush. Like, where did you hear this from? I mean, it's a nice pshat of Rabbi Yochanan, but it presupposes a very big chiddush that I'm not aware of. So he told him, no, locha, amalei. So Rav Amram told Rav Nachman the Tanya. What do you mean? Rav Nachman, it's a braisa. The braisa says, hirchik is Edom shnei shitim in aksav, posel. If Edom, who signed ordinarily, on the bottom of a document, right? Forget the get makosher. Classic get posher. So the Edom sign on the bottom of the document So the halacha is, if their signature was not immediately beneath the text of the document, but rather it was shnei shitin min haksav, the distance between the signatures, the first of the two signatures, and the end of the ksav was two lines, puzzle, the document's going to be puzzle. Shita achas kasha. If the distance is only going to be one shita, then it's going to be kasher. Said Ravan, maishno shnei shitin. Why is it that if you have distance of two shitin between the ksav and the signatures of the Edom, it's puzzle, because dolma mezayif fikasa. Obviously, because we're concerned that if you leave some blank space, what's going to happen? One of the parties is going to go. He's going to insert language that's going to benefit him, and you're going to end up with some covenants, some tenets inside this document that are mezuyif, that are forged. Well, if that's the case, shitachas nami mezayif fikasav. So why does the Brice say hirchikes edim shnei shitim in haksav pasol? But shitachas is kosher. If you're worried that maybe someone's going to add a line, so okay, so then one sheet is also enough space to be able to add a line. Elolav shmaminos. Rav Amnon said to Rav Nachman, you know what pshat in this price it must be? Ain't lemeidim shitachren shmamino. It must be because you can't learn from the last line. So what are you worried about? That you're going to add a line? That last line that's going to be written is going to anyways be null and void. You're not going to be able to take anything away from that last line. And being that you won't be able to take anything from that last line, it's for that reason that if all there is a merchuk of one line. If there's a merchuk of two lines, then we're afraid that someone's going to be mezayif two lines. Now, the last line you won't learn from, but the second to last line you'll learn from. And that's why it's going to be puzzle. If, however, the merchuk is only one line, so what are you worried about? You're going to add whatever the last line is, you're never going to be able to learn from it. Amram told Rav Nachman, it's from this braisa that I learned, this klal of Ein Lemeidin Mishita Achroina, and I think that's Pshat and Rabbi Yechon. When Rabbi Yechon said, Tzorach Sheyachsem in Yonish Al Shtar Mishita Achroina, he meant this Indian. He meant this halacha, an idea that's inferred from this brisa. The truth is that if you look at the Rashbam on the bottom of Daf Kuf Samach Aleph on the base, it's mavur in the Rashbam that when Rabbi Yochanan said Tzorach Sheyachsem Yonash Shal Shabbos Shita Achroina, he didn't really mean it so much as a din. Meaning, he just meant don't put anything pertinent there. Because if you're going to put something pertinent there, you should know it's going to be non-admissible. But let's say a person would write a shtar and it wouldn't be a very thorough review and recap and chazorah of the document. It would be fine as well. If you look at the Rashbam, three lines from the bottom. Elu b'dvarim she'ein lanu tzorech ben. What you should write is things that we don't really need. L'moy mimenu yisayim shtari kigoyin men yonesh al shtar. Right, that one word is the giveaway. Kigoyin men yonesh al shtar. But it's not so much that you need men yonesh al shtar. That's what the Rashbam says anyways, because the whole idea is really ein lameid meshita achroina. So, no, as long as you don't have anything too pertinent over there, then it's going to be okay. Either way, so we brought a braisa. Hirchikeso edim shnei shitim in aksav pasol. Shita achas kasha. What's the difference? Either way, you could be mezayif. No, shita achas, you could only be mezayif one shita. That shita, by definition, will be the shita achroina. Elo meidim shita achroina. Shnei shitim, you could be mezayif two shitas. True, the second of the two shitas that you might be mezayif, you won't be able to learn from. But the first of the two shitas, you would be able to. Ivoilus, it'd been a shiva, had a shayla, shita umechzamai. What would be if the merchak between the ksav and the signatures of the Edom was not two lines, it was not one line, but it was 1.5 lines. So, what's the halacha? Tashma, says the Gemara, I think you could be poached from the Braisa. What did the Braisa say? Hirchikes Edom shnei shitim pasul. If the distance was two shitim, it's going to be pasul. Hashita umechza kasher. It sounds like if it's 1.5 shitim, it's going to be kasher, right? Pretty solid diak. Ema seifa, but the Gemara says, if that's a diak, look at the seifa. What did the seifa say? Shita achas kasher. If the distance was one shit, it's going to be kasher. It's mashma. Shita achas with the kasher. One shit is going to be kasher. Hashita umechza pasul. Elo says the Gemara Meha, from this Braisa Leko Le Mishnah Mina, you can't learn anything. Why? Because if you're going to go down the road of making Diyukim in this Braisa, what you're going to end up is a stira between the Diyuk from the Reisha and the Diyuk from the Seifa. From the Reisha it's Mashma, Shnei Shitim Pasol, Hashita Umechza Kosher, and from the Seifa it's Mashma, Shita Achas Kosher, Abashita Umechza is Pasol. Obviously they both can't be true. Must be Meha Leko Le Mishnah Mina. It's Geshmak. The Rashbam, the very, very top Rashbam says, so what really are you supposed to do with a braisa like this? And the truth is, this is something that comes up a lot, right? So in the world of Klolei Hashas, this is an idea that you find, that the Gemara will have an Ibaya, the Gemara will say Tashma from a Mishnah and a braisa, and I think you can make a diak from the Reisha. The problem is that there's a conflicting diak from the Sefer, Elameho Lekul Mishma Mina, right? you look in the Maseres Hashas, Brachas Chafeya Med Aleph, etc., etc., etc. The first time this is mentioned is literally 3.5 weeks into Shas, and then you'll find it everywhere. What's the gedder of such a thing? So the Rashbam, and Tais really says it here as well, says that the gedder of such a thing is that Chada is Dafka. Oy Seifa, Oy Resha. Reading the Rashbam inside. V'tonu ha atuha. Meaning the gedder is that one of these two diyukim is Dafka. Right? Either Shnei Shitim is Dafka because Shita Umechtze is Kosher, or Shita Achas is Dafka because Shita Umechtze is Pasul. Now, one is Dafka, the other one is Lav Dafka. Why would we mention one in the Dafka form and the other in the Lav Dafka form? It's Pashit because of poetic symmetry, right? It's Tanu Ha Atuha. So the way we view Elameha Lekola Mishma Mina is that the Tana was being halachically precise in one of its two statements and then was being poetic in the other one of the two statements. So the reason that one of the two statements is not halachically accurate, it's because the Tana is taking the liberty and the Tana is saying that I would prefer poetic symmetry over halachic accuracy. And that's exactly why one of them ends up being legit and the other one is just poetry. The problem is we don't know which is which. And because we don't know which is which, it's for that reason, meha leka l'mishma mina. So you want to know what's going on in the Tana's mind? One of them is dafka and the other one is poetic symmetry. The problem is us mortals, when we sit down and we learn the words of the Halakha Tanam, we don't always know which was dafka and which was poetry. And it's for that reason we walk away unsure, but it's not like the Tana was verplanted. The Tana knows exactly what he's doing, right? This is his geschäft. Tana knows exactly what he's doing. The Tana is exercising his poetic license, which is leaving us a little bit in the dark. But again, the bottom line is we're not sure. Two shita is puzzle, one shita is kosher. What if it's a shita umechza? We thought maybe there was a raya from the reisha of the braisa. The problem is there'd be a conflicting raya from the seif of the braisa. Elameha lekula mishma minas. So the Gemara says, my havi Allah. What's the bottom line? Toshma, I'll bring you a raya from the following braisa. And this braisa is a toisef in the 7th parak of Maseches Gittin. Detanyo, hirchikas ha'edim shnei shitim anaksav posel. In the event that the Edim signed a little bit distant from the end of the ksav, how distant were they? Two shitin, two lines. So the halacha is posel. The shtar is going to be posel. Pachos mikan. Let's say it's less than two lines. Kosher, it's going to be kosher. Now, the truth is, we can stop right here. The Gemara is going to bring the end of the braisa and discuss it for a few lines. But really, this is the punchline, right? The punchline is that it's a mefurish braisa. Hirchekes ha'edim shnei shitim and aksav pasul. Pachos mikan kosher. What does pachos mikan kosher mean? That if it's 1.5 lines, or if it's 1.75, or if it's 1.875, it doesn't matter. If it's less than two shitin, here it's mefurish that it's going to be kosher. The braisa continued and said, "Hoyu arba v'chamisha edim suman al hashtar." Let's say you have a shtar, and there are 4 or 5 edim that are signed on the shtar. So ordinarily, how many edim do you need to sign on the shtar? So I think if you ask the man on the street or bachur in yeshiva, what's he going to tell you? 2 edim, of course. Dinei mamonis, you need 2 edim. After learning the beginning of Periket Pasha, we know, well, it depends really. Is it a get pashut or is it a get makusha? A get makusha, there's halacha of 3 edim. According to one amayra, there's an asmachta from the pasuk. Al pishnayim edim, al pishloisha edim, yakum davar, right? But the bottom line is that what would be if you have 4 or 5? So you for sure have more edim than you need. Venimtsa echon mehem karev apostle. Now, one of the edim were found to be karev apostle. Tiskayim edus bishar. The halacha is that it doesn't knock out the shtar because at the end of the day, being that you have the requisite amount of kosher edim, right? You have the 2 edim for the get poshut, the 3 edim for the get makusher. So even though it was nimsa echad mehem karvu pasul, still the halacha is that it's going to be okay. Now, this seif of the braisa is really behemshech to the reish of the braisa, right? At first glance, the braisa is saying two completely distinct halachas. Hirchekes ha'edim shnei shitim and aksav pasul, pachas mekan kosher, and if you had 4 or 5 edim, so the Rashbam says that the way you learn this Tosefta, meaning the Hemshach and the segue and the connection between the first part and the second part of this Tosefta is as follows. If you would have a shtar, and the shtar is a gewaldige shtar, you have a ksav, you did everything you were supposed to do, and then you have 2 edim that are signed on the bottom of the shtar. But the problem is, there's 2 shitin of space in between the ksav and the signatures of the Eidim. So the halach is, it would be possible. Zok the b'raisa, have an Eidzah. You know what the Eidzah is? Just fill it with another Eid. Oh, and by the way, even if that Eid's going to be a karev or a pasal, call your brother and ask him, would you please do me a favor? I need your John Hancock. Just sign over here. And he be'etzim is pasal, because he's a karev. So really, he can't be made. But that in and of itself would be fine. Now, you're going to tell me, what do you mean? You have a posel eid signed on the shtar. You don't have to worry about that, because at the end of the day, you have two kosher eidim. And if you have two kosher eidim, that's going to be okay. So what the Brice is saying is that if you have empty space of two sheetim, it's a problem. But if you fill up the space, even if you fill up the space with a posel eid, that's the hemshech over here. Still, the halach is, it's going to be okay. So the Gemara, Messayele lechiskiya, this really supports something that Chiskiya said. This Brice is a siyua. It supports something Chiskiya said. Amar Chiskiya said, Nilu, Bikraivim kosher. Mamish des halacha. He said that if you have a gap between the ksav and the signatures of the Eidim, the shtar is going to be posel. You have to fill it up somehow, right? Fill it up even with posel Eidim. That in of itself is going to be okay. And then Chiskiya said a geshmak isach. He said, V'alta tamo. He says, you're going to be a little bit taken aback. Meaning, why are you going to be taken aback? Because you might ask yourself that, I don't understand. If there's nothing there, it's posel. But if there's a psul there, it's going to be kosher, right? It's a little bit counterintuitive. If you have just New York chalak, then it's going to be a problem. Fill it up with posel eidim, then already it's going to be kosher. So said Chiskiya, there's a precedent for this anomaly. Sharei aver sukkah posel b'shloisha. The halacha is that if you have aver in the sukkah, meaning the schach has a gap, that's three tefachim, the halacha is it's posel. Less than three tefachim is lavud, it's going to be kosher. If, however, there's three tefachim of aver, so now you are above the shear of lavud, so the halacha is it's going to be posel. Schach posel, however, is posel barba. If, however, you have schach posel, so then the halach is the shear of schach posel, that posels is not three tvachim, but rather it's four tvachim. So aver in schach is posel begimel tvachim. Schach posel beschach is posel bedalot tvachim. What does that mean? That means if you have a sukkah and you have a gap of three tvachim, it's posel. Fill it up with schach posel, then it's going to be kosher. If it's empty, it's going to be possible because Avra is posel b'gimel tefachim. If you fill it up with schach posel, it's going to be kosher. What do you mean? You have three tefachim of schach posel? No, because schach posel is posel b'arba. It's not posel b'gimel. What do you see from here, says Chiskiya? That sometimes, if you have something posel, you end up in a better place than if you had nothing. Schach posel is more kuladig then no schach at all. So too, Eidim psulim signed on a document is more kuladig than blank space on the document. So the Eidim psulim are the nimshal to the mashal being the schach pasul, and the niyar chalak is the nimshal to the mashal of the aver inside the sukkah. Either way, the Gemara had a shayl. Shnei shitin of distance between the ksav and the signatures of the Eidim is pasul. One sheet is kosher. What about a sheet of mechza? First, the Gemara brought the original braisa. Thought maybe you could be poshed it. From there, the Gemara came out. Elamihal lekel mishma mina. The Gemara brought a second braisa, which was very, very straightforward. Hirchikes oedim shnei sheetim and aksav pasul. Pachos mikan kosher. Pachos mikan means anything less than two shnitin is going to be kosher. And then the Tosefta, this braisa continued and said, oh, by the way, let's say you would have a gap of two shitin or more than that, and you need to fill it up right now, just fill it up with psulim. Fill up with psulim, it's going to be okay. There's a major, major shaila that the Rishonim talk about right here that fast forwards all the way to the Achronim and even the Gedolei Achronim, Reb Chaim and Sefer, that discusses the very obvious question, and that is, how could it be that if you have a shtar that has, let's say, five edim on it, two of them are kosher, three of them are posel. Four of them are kosher. One of them is posel. That the halach is that the shtar is going to be kosher. Everyone knows the Mishnah Masechtas Makis Davar. We actually just had it in the daf. Came up with Derech Agav on Daf Kuf Samech Amid Beis, where the halach is that if you have multiple eidim and nimtza echad mehen karav ei posel, the halach is eidusam b'teilo. So if always the halach is when it comes to l'chazetos, nimtza echad mehen karav ei posel, eidusam b'teilo. So what's pshan in this Tosefta? Hayu arba v'chamisha edim chsumen al ashtar, v'nimtza echad mehem karavei pasol, t'skayim edus b'shar, L'chayre, this would seem to blatantly contradict Halacha of Nimtza Echameyam Karve Pasla Edusim Betela. And just to be clear, that din of Nimtza Echameyam Karve Pasla Edusim Betela is true even by Dine Mamanis. So, to the extent that it's true even by Dine Mamanis, Mali Edim Hachsumen Al Ashtar versus your classic Hagadas Edus, where there's a din of Nimtza Echameyam Karve Pasla Edusim Betela, the Rashbam seems to address it a little bit. The last Tosfos addresses it a lot of it. Like we said, there's a Geiser Rambam, a very long Reb Chaim and Sefer that goes into the lumdus of understanding Eidim that are made in a shtar. Maybe we'll get back to it one of these days. But for now, we're going to go weiter and we're going to make a haschala on tomorrow's daf. Iboiluhu, shnei shitin sha'amru. So, the halacha is that if you have space, two lines worth of space between where the document ends and between where the Edim signature begins, so the halacha is the shtar is going to be possible. Less, it's going to be okay. But the Bnei Shita had a shayla. These two shitin, is it hein v'aviron or idilma hein v'loy aviron? Meaning, when a sefer writes a document, so you don't just take all the lines and pile them up. There's a little bit of space. There's a little bit of aver. So the question is, when we say two lines pasels, does it mean two lines, or does it mean two lines the way the Seifer ordinarily would write the two lines? And being that the way the Seifer ordinarily would write the two lines is with aver, there'd be some spaces above, below, and in between the lines. So maybe the only time Shnei Shittim is going to be pasel is if it's going to be written in that way. And really, the crux of the question is that why is Shnei Shittim pasel? Because you're concerned that someone's going to go, one of the parties, and he's going to be Mazayif the Shtar. He's going to add two lines, right? If you add one line, nothing happens because Ein Lameda Meshit Achren. But we're worried you're going to add two lines. Okay, so you're going to add two lines. So presumably, you would want the two lines that you're going to add to match up with the rest of the document, because otherwise, it's going to look Mezuyif, right? It's not going to look so good. Something's up here. Something's a little bit strange. Why is everything very, very neat, and now all of a sudden everything is mumbled, jumbled together? So based on that, you would think that the only time it should be a problem is if you could write two lines Keshura, right? Pun intended. And if you could do that, then it'll be possible. If that's the case, you would need Shnei Shitin, which is Hein V'Aviron. I don't know. Maybe Hein V'Lei Aviron. As long as you could kvetch in two lines, maybe that's enough for a person to be tempted to be Mezayif the Shtar. Ah, he might get caught. Okay, so he might get caught, but maybe he won't get caught. And if that's the case, we have to do what we need to do, and we need to disqualify the Shtar. So that's the Shaila. It's in Hein V'Aviron, or you don't Hein V'Lei Aviron. I'm Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, Mestabro de Hein V'Aviron. I hear the Shaila, I hear the Tutsladim, but Rav Nachman by Yitzchak said, you want to know what I think? The Svar is probably Hein V'Aviron. Why do you say the Hein V'Lei Aviron? Shita Achas, B'Lei Aviron, the Maichazio. I mean, you can't really write on a line without the Aver. And again, you're going to have to write two lines. So if you're not going to have the Aver, that first of the two lines that you're going to write, B'loy avir l'may chazio. And the way the Rashbam explains it, V'aloy nikar haziyof, meaning it's going to be so obvious that something's going on over here, that first sad, and it's for that reason, even though it's true, you can kvetch in two lines, and maybe somehow it's going to get past the Bezdin, but at the end of the day, it's not mistaber, because probably it's going to be nikar haziyof, and a person's probably not going to set himself up and expose himself like that. Elo shmamino, said Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, that even though I don't have a raya from a brisa, but it's mistaber. That what? Hein v'avir and shmamino, that's probably the way it is. But the Amiram continued, and they discussed this halakas again. So we now know that how much space do you need between the ksav and the chsima of the edim in order for the shtar to be possible? It's two shitin. Less than two shitin, shito machza, we know from the second brisa, right? We know for sure that if it's less than two shitin, it's going to be cut. Okay, so it has to be shnei shitin. Is it shnei shitin Hein v'aviram, or you do my hein v'lei aviram? Oh, Nachman Yitzchak said that even though I don't have a brisa, I've been messed up. Right? This is the Velin Nira of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. He says, you want to know what I think? I think it's hein v'aviram. Okay, so the question is, what does hein v'aviram mean? How much avir do you actually have? And the Gemara is going to bring now three-way machloikis amayram. Rav Shapsi Yomar, Rav Shapsi comes first. Rav Shapsi said, Shmid Chizkiyo, in the name of Chizkiyo, Shnei Shittim Sha'amru. When we said Shnei Shittim, and Shnei Shittim we just said means Hein V'Aviron. What it means is, B'Ksav Yedei Eden, V'Loi K'Sav Yedei Seifer. Number one, it means that the lines have to be wide enough for the Eden to be able to write something, as opposed to wide enough for the Sofer to be able to write something. So, to fully appreciate this, you would have had to have been there. But apparently, if you looked at a document, so you had the Sofer who wrote the document, and then you had the Edom that signed on the document. The lines that the Sofer wrote were narrower, meaning the height of the letters were a little bit lower than the lines with the Edom signed. And the reason is, the Sofer is a professional, right? This is his 9-to-5. He's the mumchet. This is what he does for a living. So he used to know how to write very precise, and very precise meant he didn't take up so much space, right? He's doing it in a cost-efficient way. So the letters that he wrote were smaller letters. As opposed to the Edom, they wrote in bigger, bolder letters. And the reason is because they're not mumchen. They were just asked to sign on a document. They're witness to a transaction. But this is not something that they know how to do. So when you say a shita, the shita for the Sofer is not the same as the shita for the Edom. So Rav Shapsi says in the name of Chizkiah that when we say Shnei Shitim, it means B'Ksav Yidei Edom, V'Loi B'Ksav Yidei Sofer. My time, what's the reason? The Chol HaMizayif, L'Avagabi Safra Ozel, Hu Mizayif. Because when a person is Mizayif, he doesn't go to a Sofer, right? You don't call the scribe and say, do me a favor. You know, I want to, you know, commit some sort of crime. Will you do me a favor? And no, the person's not going to do that. He's going to do it a little bit more discreetly. So what's going to happen is, the Malva, the Loiva, right, the meicher, the koine, he's going to go and he's going to create some sort of fraud inside this document. But he's going to do it by himself. That's the point. And being that he's going to do it by himself, so he knows how to write the way an aide knows how to write. Doesn't know how to write the way a sofer knows how to write. So therefore, you have to make sure that the shnei shittim are going to be wider than the shnei shittim of the sofer. They're going to be shnei shittim of the aide. Now, you might be wondering if that's the case. So again, it might be Nikar Aziyuf, right? Because the Sofer wrote the whole document, and when he wrote the document, they were Oisius Ketanas. And now you're going and you're making Oisius Gedoilas. We just said that the Nikar Aziyuf plays a big role. That's why it's Hein Vavira, right? That was the Mestabra, the Balin Nira of Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, I hear. But the bottom line is, this is what Chizkiah said. Chizkiah said, Shnei Shitim, it's B'Ksav Yidei Edom, V'loi B'Ksav Yidei Sofer. So again, it's Shnei Shitim Dafka, that was the first part of the Gemara. It's Hein Vavira, that was the second part of the Gemara. And what's the third halacha that we know now about this? It has to be B'Ksav Yidei Edom. But if it's two Shitim, even Hein Vavira, but it's B'Ksav Yidei Sofer, the halacha is, it's still going to be Kashim, because this guy who's going to try to be Mizayif will never be able to get two lines into it. The Kama. Okay, now when we say Avira, what's the Taicha of Aviron? Zok de Gemara, Omar, Reb Yitzchak ben Elazar, Kigoin, Lecha Lecha, or maybe this is supposed to say Lech Lecha, Ze Al Gabeze. So you would have to account for there to be enough space where if the person wanted to write Lecha Lecha, one on top of the other, there'd be enough space to be able to do that. Let's just theorize his words. Alma Kasavar. You see from here, there are Yisrael ben Elazar holds shnei shitin, that the shear is two shitin, v'arba avirin, and four spaces. So Rabbi Yisrael ben Elazar says that the only time we're concerned that a person's going to go be mezayif, he's going to take the empty space and put two lines in there, the last of which will be non-admissible, but the second to last, which might have some good schayra, that's going to benefit him. It's only true if there's enough space for this person to be able to write anything he wants on the first of the two lines and anything that he wants on the second of the two lines. Meaning, what happens if he has to write something on the two lines and he has the word lecha written on the first of the two lines, the word lecha written on the second of the two lines, and here's the punchline, the way the lines line up is where the endachaf of the lecha written on the first line is going to be exactly parallel to the lamed that's written on the second line. Meaning, in his mind, I don't know what this is going to play itself out. So I have to make sure we're trying to go into the psychology of this guy, right? And you have to say, okay, his mind, I'm going to go and I'm going to commit this thing I'm not supposed to do. So what happens if I have lecha on the top line, lecha on the second line, and the endachap lines up with the lamed? So I better make sure I have enough space to do that. And here's the point. If we don't think that there's enough space to do that, that's enough of a deterrent, and we don't think this person's going to end up going down this road, and he's not going to commit this crime. And if that's the case, even though the shnei shitim, the halach is, it's going to be kosher. So Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar said that v'kama, when is shnei shitim a shear in order to be puzzled? Right, v'kama meaning, when is it puzzle, it's kigoyin, if there's enough space to write lecha lecha, ze al gabi ze, where the endachaf lines up with the lamed, and if that's the case, amal kasavar comes out shnei shitim, right? That's the obvious, it's the two lines, one to write the one lecha, one to write the other lecha, that's the basic part of this halacha, it's two lines, varba avirin, additionally four avers. Why is it four avers? So on the top line, you have the word lecha written, so you need the aver on top of it for the top of the lamed, and you need a little bit of av on the bottom of it for the bottom of the endachaf. Underneath it, immediately beneath the endachaf, you have a lamed, but you can't have the lamed go and intertwine together with the endachaf. So you need again another bit of space for the top of the lamed, and again beneath it, you need another little bit of space for the bottom of the endachaf. So what you end up having is the two shitin for the two words lecha lecha, and then you have the two avers for each one of the two words, the top of the lamed and the bottom of the endachaf. It's easy math. What do you end up with? Two shitin arba avirim. So what does it mean? Heim vavirim? It means shnei shitin varba avirim. Rabchi barami mishmeidu ula amar kegoin lamed mumaylo v'chof milmato. Then no. What we're worried is that as long as this person has enough space to put a lamed on the top line and a endachaf on the bottom line, that in and of itself is going to be enough. And Alma Kasavar, you see that he holds Shnei Shitin V'Shloisha Avirim, two lines and three Avirim is going to be enough. In other words, according to Rav Chiya Barami in the name of Ula, we're not worried that, or better, we don't assume that this person's worried that when he writes these two lines, he's going to have lecha lecha on the two lines and the endachaf of the top line is going to line up with the lamed of the top line. That's not something that we're worried about. Now, could be it's going to say lecha on the top line and lecha on the bottom line. I mean, it could be there'll be a lamed somewhere on the top line and there'll be a endachaf somewhere on the bottom line, and it could be there'll be a lamed on the bottom line and endachaf on the bottom line. But to be chayish, that the lamed is going to line up with the endachaf, and then and only then will the person be willing to go down the line of this ziyuv. That's already mehechatesa. That's not something you assume. So again, you have to address that it might say lecha on the top line, it might say lecha on the second line. But to address that the endachaf of the top line will line up with the lamed on the bottom line, that already not. Okay, so what would you need for that? So again, you need two shitin. Again, that's the basic halacha, lecha and lecha. So those are the two shitin. And you need gimel avir. The reason you need gimel avir is because you need the avir on top of the lamed of the top line. You need an aver beneath the top line for the endachaf. You also need an aver on the bottom of the second line for the endachaf of the second lecha. What you don't need is an extra aver for the lamed of the second line. And the reason is because you can double dip. The same aver that's being used for the endachaf of the first line is the aver that's going to be used for the lamed of the second line. The only time you can use the same aver is if you're concerned that they're going to hit each other. So then you would need an aver for the lamed of the second line and an aver for the endachaf of the first line. And you can't double dip because what happens if they bump into each other? But that's not something we're concerned about. And as long as there's enough to write lecha on the top line, lecha on the bottom line, that's enough of a shnei shvita heim vavirin. And we're going to be concerned, even though they don't perfectly line up, that's going to be a problem. And finally, the third sheet is Rav Avoh. This is a little bit surprising. Rav Avoh said, that even if there's a Baruch ben Levi ben one shnita, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Because he holds that really, what's the shear? It's shita achas v'shnei avirim. If it's shita achas and two avers, that's going to be a problem. Where's the shita achas, Baruch ben Levi, written on one line? And where's the two avers? So you have the Baruch, that's the endachaf, that requires the line on the bottom, and then you have the Levi, that's the lama that you have on top. Right, take a look at the Rashbam. It's the first wide line. Shnei avirim ikka hacha, echad lemayla b'shvil lama de Levi, v'chad lemata b'shvil chof de baruch, and then in and of itself is going to be enough in order to make it possible. So what's the bottom line? What's the sikum on today's daf? The daf started with two halachas that Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Yosef said them in the name of Rabbi Yochanan as it relates to writing shtaris. Number one, kol ha-mechokin kulon tzarech sheyichtoi v'dein kiyumeyon. Number two, v'tzarech sheyachse minyone shal shtar b'shit achrein. The first halacha is that sometimes a mechike in a shtar is kosher. Right, even though Rabbi Yochanan said in yesterday's that mechike in a shtar is possible, but that's only if it's b'mokim shar v'kayim and kishir shar v'kayim. Otherwise, it's going to be kosher. Stating that, the sofer has to be mekayim it. When he writes the shar v'kayim, he has to address the mechik. As long as he addresses it and it's not in the wrong place, that in and of itself is going to be okay. Just like Rabbi Yochanan said, Tluya mikuyam is ksheira, so too kol ha-mechokin kulam tzarech sheyichtei v'dein kiyumeim. The second thing he said is v'tzarech sheyachsen menyonish hashtar b'shit achreina. What was the reason for that? Because ein lemeidin b'shit achreina. You can't learn anything from the shit achreina. And mean that you can't learn anything from the shit achreina. So it's for that reason good advice would be to just chazer over Menyone Shoshtar. Why? Because if there's anything novel there, unfortunately, right, if it says, oh, by the way, he borrowed another $10,000, well, sorry, you can't do anything about it. So therefore, this is the cloud. From the Rashbam, it sounds like it's only a kigoyin, it's a beispiel. That's what you should do. The ikar is don't write a davar chadash on that last line. The Gemara said, what's the makar? She'in lemeidim mishnita achroina. The Gemara says, it's not from a braisa, which we saw was really a braisa that you find in two places. And that is that if the eidim would sign on the bottom of the document, but they would leave over a little bit of space between the end of the shtar and where they sign, sometimes it's kosher, sometimes it's possible. What does it depend on? If the merchik is too shitin, then it's going to be possible. Shita achas kosher. Why if the merchik is too shitin is a possible? Because we're afraid you might be mezayif. Well, then shita achas, you might be mezayif as well. The teretz is, what are you worried about? You're going to write a line, that line you're going to write is by definition going to be the Shita Achroina, because that's all you can do is write one line, and from the last line you can't learn anything, and being that you can't learn anything from there, so it's for that reason that's not something that you would have to worry about. So two Shitin is a problem because you write two lines, one Shita is not, and then the Gemara digressed and discussed this halach of two Shitin Pasal. Shita Achas of Merchak is Kasha, two Shitin Pasal, what does this mean and what did we come out with? Number one, two Shitin is Dafka, Shitu Mechza, anything less than two Shitin is going to be kosher. Another thing we saw is that tushita means hein ve'avira. Another thing we saw is that it has to be ksavi de edem, not ksavi de cipher. So those are wider lines. Additionally, as it relates to what hein ve'aviran is, so we had really three shitas. Shnei shitin varba aviran, shnei shitin v'shloisha aviran, or shita achas v'shnei aviran. Today's daf is hashtag no raid. And we are going to stop here.